This morning on WCHL, as the short session in the North Carolina General Assembly gets closer, the Moral Monday movement doesn't seem to have lost momentum. But does that mean it's been successful?
In the short term, I think it's really exciting because it's mobilized people from all over the state.
Developers of a project designed to help improve Eubanks Road say they need $3.5 million from Chapel Hill's stretched budget.
Our firm can absorb some of the costs associated with the edge.
And some families in Chapel Hill are fighting for autism coverage from insurance companies, a law passed in more than half the states and the U.S. Capitol. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill cover of traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports, the UNC women's basketball team extended another streak to 3 wins all this week and against quality opponents. And
it was a weekend of the new and the old for the big 3 teams of the Triangle Tradition.
That's this morning in our Chansky Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
Morning, it is 33 degrees at WCHL 707, and mostly sunshine today, high today in the middle 40s. Today is actually going to be a rather nice day. Tomorrow, considerably warmer with high in the low 60s. On Wednesday, we'll be in the middle 60s. Last weekend, the Moral Monday movement entered its second year in a big way, as tens of thousands of North Carolinians, hundreds from Orange County alone, gathered in Raleigh for one of the largest civil rights rallies in the South in decades. The march was electrifying, and it gathered national attention. But is that enough? At what point can we declare Moral Monday to have been a success? WCHL's Aaron Keck reports.
How do you measure a movement?
My guesstimation was about 25,000.
Ashley Melzer was at last week's march on Raleigh taking pictures for Planned Parenthood.
We counted like one little chunk of a building. There were 50 rows of an average of 35 people, and so we tried to eyeball what that might be all the way down the street. But there were certainly areas that were denser, so it could have been more like 30,000.
If Melzer is correct, then the so-called Moral March was the largest civil rights rally in the South since the Selma to Montgomery marches of 1965, nearly half a century ago. Whatever the final attendance, though, one thing is clear. The Moral Monday movement has exceeded all expectations and shows no signs of slowing down. But is that enough? Can we today declare Moral Monday to have been a success just on the strength of that mobilization? Some local leaders say yes.
In the short term, I think it's really exciting because it's mobilized people from all over the state.
You're going to see that it was successful because it drew in so many people. It wasn't just the NAACP. It wasn't just the women's rights. It wasn't just the environmentalists. Everybody came to the table.
Throughout the Moral Monday marches across the state in places that I just felt like, oh, people are showing up to these rallies. That's surprising me. And so I think it's already a success in the amount of people that are connected to it.
By at least a basic measure of civic engagement and bringing together diverse interests for the common good, I think the movement's already succeeded.
That was Allison DeMarco, County Commissioner Penny Rich, Carrboro Alderman Michelle Johnson, and County Commissioner Mark Dorison, all of whom were at last Saturday's rally. Ashley Melzer goes further, saying success is not just about the big attendance at the big marches, but rather about how well the movement can motivate individuals to get involved on their own.
What's going to make or break the movement are the people who by themselves call a state senator, or by themselves send a letter, or by themselves talk to their neighbor about voting.
But Melzer's argument there speaks to a larger point. Increasing participation is an impact in itself, but participation alone doesn't seem to constitute success. The Occupy movement, for instance, drew hundreds of thousands of people to the streets, but it's harder to argue that Occupy was successful because it's harder to identify how it affected real change in government. It's that change that the Moral Monday protesters say thereafter, including a change in the makeup of the General Assembly.
The most important thing we have to do is work on voter registration, get the vote out, and change the face of the legislature.
That's Chapel Hill Town Council member Sally Green. County Commissioner Bernadette Pelissier agrees.
This movement is not about changing what this current General Assembly does. Success means that the people in North Carolina will come out and vote for individuals who will promote policies that are just and morally right. And so the success means that some of the people who are now in office in the General Assembly need to be voted out of office. That's what real success will be.
But winning elections is going to be an uphill battle, too, at least in the short term. Not only has redistricting solidified the Republican majority in the state legislature, it's also President Obama's sixth year in office, and the president's party historically loses seats in that year's election. But as State Representative Greg Meyer observes, even elections are only a means to an end.
We've been marching for long enough that it goes back to when Democrats were in control of the General Assembly. So it's not about who holds control of the government. It's about what does our government do.
Most of the people I spoke to agree with Meyer.
Elections themselves are an important litmus test. But elections are important because those elections dictate the policies that are passed.
20 years from now, I feel like if we have policies that are actually going to support poor folks to get out of poverty, right? Once we see these things turning around, right, that's the success.
It just seems like decisions are being made that are so extremely outside of what mainstream North Carolina wants that I think to pull it back toward the middle, where it has actually been for decades, would be much more reflective of our state as a whole.
I think for several decades, North Carolina was a progressive leader in the South, and I think just the last couple of years, we have really turned back to a direction that doesn't reflect the values that we have. I think the success will be if we're able to turn that tide and get back to moving our state forward.
That was Chapel Hill Town Council member Lee Starrow, Carrboro Alderman Michelle Johnson, Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle, and Chapel Hill Carrboro School Board member James Barrett. And success is not just about policy, it's also about perception. Notice the point Lavelle and Barrett both make, that the General Assembly today is outside the mainstream of North Carolina politics. That's key. The sociologist Paul Burstein argues that social movements can succeed either by changing public opinion or by changing how elected officials perceive public opinion. Moral Monday is trying to do both. On the one hand, it's trying to change hearts and minds. On the other, it's trying to send the message that it doesn't need to change hearts and minds, that North Carolinians already support the policy it's calling for. Of course, Republicans in the General Assembly generally say they aren't convinced the Moral Monday movement represents the mainstream, so success on a policy level is likely to be a long-term goal. That's often the case with social movements, though, and those who turned out for last Saturday's march say they're both resigned to that reality and resolved to see it through.
We just need to be patient, but I think that's already succeeding because of the amount of people that have been mobilized.
Even though it might want to be painted as a failure, I just don't think that's going to happen. I don't think people are going to let up.
The wrong view is probably the best view, considering that the legislature has written itself into office for much of the rest of the decade.
County Commissioners Barry Jacobs and Penny Rich there, along with Carrboro Alderman Michelle Johnson. But if those policy gains are going to be years in the making, we're back to the original question. How do you measure a movement? Academic research on social movements is limited, and even within that subfield, there's very little agreement on what constitutes success. The sociologist William Gamson argued that a movement succeeds if it wins new advantages, or in other words, if it achieves its stated policy goals. In the case of Moral Monday, there are quite a few.
Women, education, equal rights for equal love, universal health care, municipalities and counties maintain their own rights,
environmental justice,
the rights of people to be represented by their state government.
Of course, all those are going to be difficult to achieve, but it's not impossible. Republicans in the General Assembly don't seem to have wavered too much from their platform, but Mark Dorison points out that they do seem to have pulled back on at least one issue.
Where there's already a reaction on the right that they're going to raise teacher salaries. I don't think that would have happened had it not been for the Moral Monday movement. So I think we're already seeing the successes, even beyond just organizing and engaging folks.
And maybe even that standard is too narrow. Sociologists Edwin Amenta and Michael Young say it's not just about whether a movement achieves its stated goals, it's about whether life gets better for the people it represents. With that in mind, it's worth noting one argument that kept coming back among all the people I spoke with. Moral Monday isn't just about policy, they said. It's about promoting a worldview of solidarity, togetherness, and mutual respect. Alicia Stemper, Annette Stone, and Randy Haven O'Donnell.
I think the movement's success will be judged by positive change and whether or not we're all taking care of each other.
There's a shift back to something a little bit more moderate, that we as a people pick up our social hats and put them on and think about other people more, as opposed to being the me, just me kind of societies.
I think America is shifting culturally, and this is what the transition looks like. There's push ahead, there's push back. So we will see this as one of those seminal points of pushing back so that the emergence of the new culture can come forth.
And if that's the case, then the success of Moral Monday, if it comes, will come not just from what they do in Raleigh, but also from what we do in Chapel Hill. Aaron Keck, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Developers of the proposed Edge mixed-use development asked the Chapel Hill Town Council for help improving Eubanks Road, but council members said they couldn't make any promises. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has details.
Adam Golden is the vice president of development for Northwood Raven, the company that's been planning the Edge project for more than a year. He came before the Chapel Hill Town Council last week to ask the town to help pay for the $3.5 million worth of road improvements needed to widen Eubanks Road.
Please consider participating in these road improvements to fix an existing condition that is already in trouble. Enable the Edge to move forward, open the northern edge of town for economic development opportunity.
The Edge is a 54-acre site on Eubanks next to the town's park and ride lot. Golden said the proposed project would be pedestrian and transit-oriented with a mix of retail, residential, and office space. But he told the council it can't happen without help.
Our firm can absorb some of the costs associated with the Edge, but we cannot absorb all the costs associated with some of this background improvement required.
Town officials and representatives from the North Carolina Department of Transportation agreed that to support the proposed development, Eubanks Road needs to be widened with new turn lanes and bike lanes. The developer is planning to submit a formal application soon, but council members said they couldn't offer any guarantees that the town would contribute to the road improvements. Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt said the council would be willing to listen, but couldn't make a commitment.
There is no way that the council can provide you assurance today or this week that the end of those discussions is going to be affirmative and that you're going to have that level of participation that you seek.
Golden said his company would likely abandon the project if the town decides not to chip in.
If we can't get help with the improvements, we may be left with a project that's not feasible.
Council members agreed to refer the matter to staff for a report, but warned Golden they would not likely have a reply anytime soon. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
And the council tonight will get its first look at a plan to build a new subdivision on 17 acres along Homestead Road. The land is currently occupied by two farmhouses and a small pond. The developer is looking to replace those with 65 single-family residences, a clubhouse, and a pool. Project planners say they prefer not to include town-mandated affordable housing on site, opting instead for a lump sum payment to subsidize affordable housing elsewhere in town. The council will take public comment on a plan to restructure the town's advisory boards. The meeting will begin tonight at 7 o'clock at the Southern Human Services Center on Homestead Road. WCHL News Time, 7:18. Time now for traffic and weather together on WCHL. And this traffic report is brought to you by Five Guys Burgers and Fries. Nothing beats Five Guys hand-formed patties of fresh ground beef piled high with any or all of 15 free toppings, plus their fresh-cut Idaho fries. Five Guys, Menomont Village in Chapel Hill. Now, with your morning traffic on WCHL, here's the man who always keeps his eyes on the roadways, Rand Northrup.
On or off the roadways.
Exactly. Yep.
Well, traffic is moving very smoothly this morning. That is good news. I-40, 15501, NC-54 in the Durham Freeway, as well as MLK, Estes Drive, and Franklin Street. Not reporting any accidents or delays. A good start to our work week today. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Cover of Weather, brought to you by Dickie's Barbecue Pit and the brand new cornbread sandwiches, spicy chicken and sweet southern pulled pork. Eat in or call ahead for takeout. Dickie's is in Durham, next to New Hope Commons. It is 33 degrees in Chapel Hill right now, mostly sunshine, hot today in the middle 40s. Kind of a mild day, not too bad, but not that great either. And then tonight, mostly cloudy with a 50-50 chance of rain, overnight low in the low 30s. Now, tomorrow, it's going to get a lot better. Tomorrow's sunny, not as cool, with a high in the low 60s. Tomorrow night, clear, and then partly cloudy, slight chance of rain after midnight tomorrow night, overnight low around 40. And then on Wednesday, partly sunny, slight chance of showers in the morning, with a high in the middle 60s. Believe it or not, highs in the 60s for the next couple of days here after today. Today, again, up only to about 45, so warming up a lot in the next couple of days. 720 at WCHL, championship sports coming up. Authorities say two people have died after the car they were in crashed after Mebane police tried to pull it over. Investigators said an officer tried to stop a car on Highway 70 in Mebane early Sunday morning because the driver appeared to be impaired, but the car sped away. Officers lost sight of the car but found it wrecked off the side of the road just a short time later. And officers say three men were pinned inside. Two died, and a third was taken to the hospital. Their names have not been released. Highway Patrol is investigating the wreck. North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory went on two national television talk shows over the weekend to talk about climate change and the winter storms that have iced over the state in the past couple of weeks. On both Face the Nation and This Week with George Stephanopoulos, McCrory was asked about his comments while running for governor in 2008 that he doesn't get caught up in the global warming debate because he thinks it's in God's hands. McCrory said Sunday he thinks there has always been climate change, but instead of focusing on global warming, the governor says people should concentrate on keeping the air and water clean. McCrory also said environmental protection is a delicate balancing act with economic development and affordable power. WCHL News Time, 7:22. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports, brought to you by UNC Healthcare. I'm Ron Stutz. The number 17 North Carolina women's basketball team defeated number 10 North Carolina State on Sunday afternoon, 89-82, to improve to 20-6 on the season, 8-4 in ACC play. And it was the annual tribute game to Kay Yao, a game that's played to raise awareness for cancer. And North Carolina State was wearing its pink uniforms. And the whole bit, it was a packed house, too, at Reynolds Coliseum in Raleigh. And the Tar Heels, still with all of that, were able to win. Tar Heels handed the Wolfpack their first home defeat of the season, in fact, at Reynolds Coliseum to complete the season sweep over their rivals. Diamond Shields again delivered a world-class performance in a hostile environment, leading Carolina with 38 points, a career high for the freshman. Alicia Gray was also a key player in the victory, scoring 15 of her 18 points in the second half to hold off some inspired play from the Wolfpack. The Wolfpack shot 46% from the floor in the second half. The Tar Heels were even better, shooting 59% after halftime and 55% overall. North Carolina State senior Cody Burke led her team with 18 on Sunday. Next up, the Tar Heel women, a road trip up to Charlottesville to face the Virginia Cavaliers this Thursday night. The 17-7 North Carolina men's basketball team is riding a six-game win streak down to Tallahassee tonight to take on a 15-10 Florida State team that is coming off a road win at Wake Forest, a team Carolina lost to earlier this season. And it's always tough to win down at Tallahassee. WCHL's Matt Oakes has the report on tonight's Carolina game.
The dynamic duo of James Michael McAdoo and Marcus Page has provided a welcome boost to the Carolina offensive attack. The two say their court chemistry is coming together as the season marches on. But head coach Roy Williams says he needs the rest of the team to emerge and bring some offensive production to the table.
James Michael 24-12 and Marcus 5-6 from three-point line. We've got to get some other guys to step up and make shots. That's the bottom line. Other guys got to step up and help us.
Monday night's ESPN matchup at 7 p.m. in the Donald L. Tucker Center will be the next opportunity for one of the talented Tar Heel role players to step back into the limelight. Kennedy Meeks, J.P. Tokido, and Bryce Johnson all have shown bright flashes of brilliance, but Coach Williams says he wants consistent performers. Consistency is something Coach Williams has seemingly found on the defensive side of the floor. He says the greater intensity from the defense has been the cornerstone to the Tar Heel turnaround.
Everybody's got some big-time strengths and some weaknesses also up front. We don't have anybody that's quite as complete as we would like for them to be, and but it's all about the team defense. I think it was one key possession where James Michael just got off in the lane and helped, and we ended up coming up with the basketball.
McAdoo posted 24 points and 12 rebounds Saturday against Pittsburgh. The junior says he's feeling much more comfortable on the floor these days.
Just trying to play, you know, at that level, you know, throughout the game. I realize I'm not going to be, you know, a scoring machine, scoring every time I get the ball. That's just not Carolina basketball. So just, you know, playing in the system and my teammates, you know, hitting me when I'm open, finding the open spots, and then, you know, just taking it upon myself to step up, you know, like today late in the game when I realized that we did need to score. I didn't necessarily do anything crazy, but just, you know, running the offense. And like I said, my teammates were able to find me.
Sophomore guard Paige says the young Tar Heels have matured greatly since the 0-3 start in ACC play. Now sitting in fourth place in conference, Paige says he's proud of his teammates' resolve and determination to improve.
It was extremely frustrating because I was struggling myself as well. And prior to that, I had been playing really well, you know, the entire year. So It was tough, but the way we came together and, you know, really decided, you know, at that point when we were 0-3 that we were going to make some things happen, you know, I'm happy for my teammates, and this young bunch has grown up a lot since then.
Despite Carolina's improved play of late, escaping Tallahassee with a victory will be no easy task. Although Florida State has been struggling in the ACC with a 6-7 record, the Seminoles have two solid scoring threats in Aaron Thomas and Ian Miller, both of whom are shooting north of 45% from the floor. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The quest for perfection by the Chapel Hill girls basketball team, which was postponed Friday night due to winter weather, takes place tonight, and we're bringing to you live on WCHL. WCHL's Rand Northam has more on tonight's game.
The Tigers are 22-0 on the season, 13-0 in the Big 8 Conference. The Tigers are 22-0 on the season, 13-0 in the Big 8 Conference. Only one team has come close to knocking off Chapel Hill this season, 4A West Forsyth in the High School OT Holiday Tournament Championship game. But Sherry Norris Tigers won that matchup by 5 in overtime and have won every game so far this season by an average margin of more than 40 points per game. The final game of the regular season pits number 1 and number 2 in the Big 8 against each other. The Cardinal Gibbons Crusaders have only dropped one conference match all season, a 24-point decision by the hands of the Tigers. Jessica Lowe's Crusaders are clearly the second-best team in the conference, though, having dominated all other conference opponents this season. Chapel Hill has already eclipsed the mark for the longest winning streak in school history, previously at 17. Now only one opponent stands between the Tigers and the perfect season. The conference tournament tips off Wednesday, but all eyes are on the season finale and senior night tonight. Pre-game coverage begins at 6:30 tonight, streaming live online at chapelboro.com. Tip-off is scheduled for 7 o'clock. Rand Northam, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
And Rand Northam will have the call of the game alongside Paul Connell. Sherry Norris is going for win number 534 as head coach. We would have the game on WCHL, but we'll have Tar Heel basketball. Tar Heels down in Tallahassee to take on Florida State. And we'll be streaming the game, the high school game, live for you on our website, once again, chapelboro.com. We have Art Chansky coming up on WCHL.
Art Chansky's Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
It was a weekend of the new and the old for the big three teams of the Triangle Tradition. This is Art Chansky with Monday Sports Notebook. Pitt made its first trip to the Smith Center as a member of the ACC. State made its first trip to Syracuse for an ACC game in the Carrier Dome. And Maryland ended its colorful ACC rivalry with Duke in a typically colorful game at Cameron Indoor. Three games in a 9-hour span Saturday that best exemplified the changes in college athletics these days. The Tar Heels had to get over their disappointment of not facing Duke last Wednesday and refocus on a Pitt team with a different style than the Blue Devils or any other traditional ACC team. The Panthers are really more suited for the Big Ten with a ball control philosophy and offense and a banger's mentality on defense and around the glass. It turned out to be a big win for the Tar Heels, whose defense, rebounding, and shot blocking stood right up to the Panthers, and they made enough big shots and big plays to hold on for a four-point win, their seventh straight and first over a ranked team since 2013. Carolina is getting better, no question about it, but still needs some help for the streaking Marcus Page and James Michael McAdoo, who look like all ACC first-teamers to me. State was the latest team to suffer a heartbreaking loss to the unbeaten and top-ranked Syracuse Orange, which had beaten Pitt on a buzzer beater and survived Duke in OT in its last two games. The Pack clearly had this one, which would have been the biggest upset of the entire college basketball season, but a questionable on-the-floor foul call and then a costly turnover in the closing seconds sent State home with a giant case of what might have been. The Pack is getting better, too, so watch out for them in the last 3 weeks of the regular season. And what can you say about Duke and Maryland, except that they played another classic game in the rivalry that has thrilled the ACC for years? But not anymore. When the last Terrapin shot hung on the front rim before falling off, it marked the end of a series that developed its own ferocity, both in Durham and College Park, since before both teams reached the Final Four in 2001. Maryland coach Mark Turgeon, who hates leaving the ACC for the Big Ten, said the Terps were playing the game for all of their fans, former coaches, and players. And for more reasons than that, it was truly a shame that they did not exit Cameron a winner. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
7:30 at WCHL. Thank you very much, Art. And your Chapel Hill Carborough weather. A rather unusual forecast this morning. First of all, it's 33 degrees. Mostly sunny today. High today about 45. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a 50-50 chance of rain. And then the low tonight in the low 30s. Tomorrow, it'll start to change. Sunny, not as cool. High in the low 60s tomorrow. Tonight, slight chance of rain after midnight. Low 40. And then on Wednesday, we'll be up in the middle 60s.
Check out our comprehensive community calendar, photo galleries, and all of our news stories and more from 97.9 FM WCHL on chapelboro.com.
CBS News Update. I'm Dave Barrett. A UN investigation into alleged atrocities that have taken place in North Korea. There are stories, such as one from a prison camp survivor who said her parents had been starved to death and she had to bury them. There's word that families were tortured because they were caught watching TV, a foreign soap opera. Jared Genser is a human rights lawyer. He Skypes that this UN report's significant.
A major step forward, an unsurprising one, because the atrocities there have been going on for decades and are well known and understood at this point, but a huge step forward.
He says the UN document confirms this.
You have thousands dead every year in the wide network of gulags in the country from chronic malnutrition and starvation.
Now the key question.
Will the international community be able to mobilize itself and take collective action to address it, or will this be yet another report put on a shelf?
In a statement, North Korea categorically and totally rejects the report into its human rights record. CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the morning news with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
33 degrees, 732 at WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz. Developers of the proposed Edge mixed-use project asked the Chapel Hill Town Council for help improving Eubanks Road, but council members said they couldn't make any promises. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has details.
Adam Golden is the vice president of development for Northwood Raven, the company that's been planning the Edge project for more than a year. He came before the Chapel Hill Town Council last week to ask the town to help pay for the $3.5 million worth of road improvements needed to widen Eubanks Road.
Please consider participating in these road improvements to fix an existing condition that is already in trouble. Enable the Edge to move forward. Open the northern edge of town for economic development opportunity.
The Edge is a 54-acre site on Eubanks next to the town's park and ride lot. Golden said the proposed project would be pedestrian and transit-oriented with a mix of retail, residential, and office space. But he told the council it can't happen without help.
Our firm can absorb some of the costs associated with the Edge, but we cannot absorb all the costs associated with some of this background improvement required.
Town officials and representatives from the North Carolina Department of Transportation agree that to support the proposed development, Eubanks Road needs to be widened with new turn lanes and bike lanes. The developer is planning to submit a formal application soon, but council members said they couldn't offer any guarantees that the town would contribute to the road improvements. Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt said the council would be willing to listen, but couldn't make a commitment.
There is no way that the council can provide you assurance today or this week that the end of those discussions is going to be affirmative and that you're going to have that level of participation that you seek.
Golden said his company would likely abandon the project if the town decides not to chip in.
If we can't get help with the improvements, we may be left with a project that's not feasible.
Council members agreed to refer the matter to staff for a report, but warned Golden they would not likely have a reply anytime soon. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The council will get its first look tonight at a plan to build a new subdivision on 17 acres along Homestead Road. The land is currently occupied by two farmhouses and a small pond. The developer is looking to replace those with 65 single-family residences, a clubhouse, and a pool. Project planners say they prefer not to include town-mandated affordable housing on site, opting instead for a lump-sum payment to subsidize affordable housing elsewhere in town. The council will take public comment on a plan to restructure the town's advisory boards. Also, the meeting will start tonight at the Southern Human Services Center on Homestead Road at 7 o'clock. Authorities say two people have died after the car they were in crashed after Mebane police tried to pull it over the weekend. Investigators said an officer tried to stop a car on Highway 70 in Mebane early Sunday morning because the driver appeared to be impaired, but the car sped away. Officers lost sight of the car, but then found it wrecked off the side of the road a short time later. Authorities say three men were pinned inside the car. Two died, and a third was taken to the hospital. Their names have not been released. The Highway Patrol is investigating the wreck. Last weekend, the Moral Monday movement entered its second year in a big way. as tens of thousands of North Carolinians, hundreds from Orange County alone, gathered in Raleigh for one of the largest civil rights rallies in the South in decades. The march was electrifying, and it gathered national attention. But is that enough? At what point can we declare Moral Monday to have been a success? WCHL's Aaron Keck reports.
How do you measure a movement?
My guesstimation was about 25,000.
Ashley Melzer was at last week's march on Raleigh taking pictures for Planned Parenthood.
We counted like one little chunk of a building. There were 50 rows of an average of 35 people, and so we tried to eyeball what that might be all the way down the street. But there were certainly areas that were denser, so it could have been more like 30,000.
If Melzer is correct, then the so-called Moral March was the largest civil rights rally in the South since the Selma to Montgomery marches of 1965. Nearly half a century ago. Whatever the final attendance, though, one thing is clear. The Moral Monday movement has exceeded all expectations and shows no signs of slowing down. But is that enough? Can we today declare Moral Monday to have been a success just on the strength of that mobilization? Some local leaders say yes.
In the short term, I think it's really exciting because it's mobilized people from all over the state. You're going to see that it was successful because it drew in so many people. It wasn't just the NAACP. It wasn't just the women's rights. It wasn't just the environmentalists. Everybody came to the table. Throughout the Moral Monday marches across the state in places that I just felt like, oh, people are showing up to these rallies. That's surprising me. And so I think it's already a success in the amount of people that are connected to it.
By at least a basic measure of civic engagement and bringing together diverse interests for the common good, I think the movement's already succeeded.
That was Allison DeMarco, County Commissioner Penny Rich, Carrboro Alderman Michelle Johnson, and County Commissioner Mark Dorison, all of whom were at last Saturday's rally.
There's a lot more to this story. You can hear it on our website at chapelbrew.com, and also we'll have it next hour on WCHL. The Centers for Disease Control classifies autism as one of America's most critical health issues. 34 states and the District of Columbia have already passed laws requiring insurance companies to provide coverage for autism treatment, but North Carolina is not one of them. In Chapel Hill, some families are fighting for that to change. Parth Shaw reports for Carolina Connection.
It's a cool set. And you started on your Valentine's?
Yeah. Well, I need to borrow some tape.
Peter Torres sits in his kitchen multitasking between playing Pokemon and making Valentine's Day cards for his classmates. Peter is 7 years old and has autism, a developmental disorder that affects the brain's growth of social and communication skills. Peter's mom, Debbie Torres, moved from Florida to North Carolina almost 6 years ago, drawn specifically to Chapel Hill for the care her son could receive here.
There's a great, strong community here of professionals, researchers, and parents, which is really rich.
Chapel Hill may have a lot of resources, but the real problem isn't accessibility, it's affordability. A Harvard study estimates it costs $3.2 million to take care of a person with autism over the course of his or her life. When Peter was younger, he needed treatment 5 to 6 days a week.
If you're not independently wealthy, you really can't afford, to go to occupational therapy twice a week for $130 an hour.
North Carolina does not require insurance companies to cover autism treatment. The Affordable Care Act leaves the issue of autism coverage to states. And Bridget Mora, co-founder of the autism website ChartNC.com, says North Carolina has been slow to make progress.
34 other states do, plus the District of Columbia, do already have an autism insurance bill, so we are really behind on that.
The North Carolina bill to provide insurance coverage for autism made it through the House last May and is awaiting action in the Senate. Blue Cross Blue Shield North Carolina lobbied against the bill. Spokesman Lou Borman says the most providers in the state do in fact cover autism treatment.
We cover diagnosis, we cover medical interventions, and, across the board, we cover physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapies.
But according to Mora, that coverage is severely limited and doesn't take into mind all the needs of an autistic child.
Someone's policy might cover 30 visits for, say, occupational therapy plus speech therapy, but perhaps the best course of treatment for their child is speech therapy a couple times a week plus occupational therapy. And it's just way well beyond the scope of what insurance currently offers.
Borman says Blue Cross Blue Shield's major concern is that the bill requires insurers to pay for Applied Behavioral Analysis, or ABA, which helps improve autistic children's behavior through positive reinforcement. ABA has been endorsed by the Surgeon General, but Blue Cross considers it an educational approach best left to schools and not a medical treatment. Borman also says that the financial burden of the autism insurance mandate would be a huge blow for customers.
Each additional mandate comes as a cost, you know, no matter how good the intention is. So what we have to balance is the concerns of small employers and individuals who are seeing, you know, fairly drastic increases.
But Mora says the statistics tell something different about the mandate.
The financial impact of the insurance in states that have had it for some time is really minimal. It costs about 31 cents more per month per subscriber in those states.
Torres remains concerned about the state of autism insurance coverage. She says not being covered can lead to some difficult decisions.
Having to pick and choose whether you need a behavioral therapist or an occupational therapist when you really need both of them, but not having the money to pay for that. I mean, that's a really hard choice to make, and you know, you want to be able to give your child everything.
The Senate is expected to vote on the bill in the short session this May. In Chapel Hill, I'm Parth Shah.
Carolina Connection is the radio news magazine of the UNC School of Journalism and Mass Communication. It airs every Saturday morning at 8:30 on WCHL during the academic year. It's 7:41 at WCHL, and Rand Northam joins us now in the studio. And Rand, I know that this is a loaded question because the website is loaded, all kinds of stuff. But what's happening at chapelbro.com?
Well, exciting news for tonight, at least. Big news about high school basketball, our game of the week that was supposed to be Friday night, that was moved to tonight. We are moving along with it, the Chapel Hill girls hosting the Cardinal Gibbons girls, and it's a quest for perfection. That is that the Chapel Hill High School girls basketball team right now 22-0, looking for one more win in the regular season to have the perfect season. Of course, the conference tournament tips off on Wednesday. It will be Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and we will have Friday night, very exciting as well. We'll have both the girls and boys basketball game. So 5:30, the girls game tips off. 7 o'clock, the boys game tips off. And so we'll have all of that on WCHL and ChapelBurrow.com. But tonight, exclusively on ChapelBurrow.com, is that Chapel Hill High girls basketball team against Cardinal Gibbons. And Cardinal Gibbons is no pushover, a very good team.
That's what I was going to say. They're the number two team in the conference.
Exactly, and clearly the number two team. I mean, only one loss in conference play this season, and that came to the Chapel Hill girls. Now, it was a 24-point win for the Chapel Hill girls the first time around, but you always got to watch for them the next time around. And they could meet up again in the conference tournament as well on Friday.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, it would. And the conference tournament being held at Chapel Hill High School, so a great week of basketball coming up. Of course, the UNC men's basketball game tonight, and that's why we'll have the high school game exclusively on chapelboro.com. So you want to tune in for that tonight.
A lot of people may be saying, well, a lot of people may be saying, well, they should have had that game on Friday night, but they can't because it's policy.
Exactly.
If school is not in session, then they can't have the game.
That's right.
You know.
And I'm very glad that we're able to bring it to everybody tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Connell and I will be there to bring that game to you. Also on our website, chapelboro.com, Jeff Danner has A Tale of Two Spills. Of course, talking about the coal ash spill that's been taking the news here in the last few days, just down the road in Greensboro in the area. So you'll want to tune in to the website for that. Also, Table had its open house just this past week, and we've got some great photos up on our website from Susan Murray of Table's open house. Really great photos, as always. Susan Murray does just an excellent job.
Yeah, she does.
That's just a hint of what is available on our website, chapelboro.com, and it's all available with instantly live streaming on an app for that. Hope you have your app downloaded for tonight's game.
Absolutely.
Chapel Hill and Cardinal Gibbons.
All right. Well, hey, thanks very much for doing that.
Certainly. Thank you.
We'll get it on however we can.
That's right.
You know, Tar Heels playing on WCHL, so we'll have it on our website, and I'm just glad we have the capability of doing that.
Oh, definitely.
7:44 at WCHL. Coming up, Chuck Morton will take a rather humorous look at some people's midlife crisis cars.
Hey.
That is on the way next.
Spring rains and tree blossoms are coming. Hello, I'm Charlie Quayle of locally owned Gutter Solutions, urging you to invest in the long-term value of your home with gutters that work. That's right. Keep the water moving away from your foundation, doors, and windows with the help of our exclusive Gorilla Guard gutter covers that keep your gutters working guaranteed. Find Gutter Solutions and Gorilla Guard gutter covers on the web at chimneysplusgutters.com. That's chimneysplusgutters.com.
This is Stephen Lair with Home Instead Senior Care. It seems the temperatures have finally dropped for good, and with those lows come high risks for the elderly. As people age, their skin becomes thinner and their body's less able to sense changes in body temperature. In short, seniors get cold more quickly without realizing it, which puts them in danger of hypothermia. Take a moment to check in with a senior in your life to make sure that they're properly equipped for the winter months ahead. Coats, hats, and blankets could be just the thing to save a senior's life this winter. For more information, go to homeinstead.com, where to us, it's personal.
Have you been to Carber lately? You just couldn't make this place up. February is For the Love of Carber Month, and there is so much to see and do. Like North Carolina Comedy Arts Festival. Acts from New York, L.A., Chicago, far and near, here to perform as the next generation of comedy talent. Hashtag NCCAF takes place February 6th through the 16th in the heart of Carrboro. Come to Carrboro and feel free. Unwind, create, taste, play, and be yourself. Follow us on Facebook at For the Love of Carrboro.
This is only a test. This is a test of the emergency alert system on 97.9 FM WCHL. This is only a test. FM WCHL Chapel Hill is a member of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
Well, everything is just fine. 7:46 at WCHL. Good morning.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Chuck Morton. In recent years, I have noted in traffic an increasing number of incredibly expensive automobiles. With Chapel Hill and Carrboro's prosperous and aging demographic, an increasing number of midlife crisis machines are to be expected. Those who wish to overcome for their shortcomings may buy any number of luxury sedans and coupes that simply scream, "I have too much money." Corvettes and Mustangs are the proletariat version, but many opt for more declarative Maseratis or Ferraris. Bentleys and Rolls-Royces now prowl the shopping malls searching for valet parking. The rest of us can only avoid them, as we cannot afford to insure against the dreadful possibility of tagging such exotics in traffic. A trunkectomy for many of these exotic machines would be far more than most insurance would bear. Hence, all our rates rise. To these gentlemen, I offer this advice. Park it, please. Any woman who loves you for your car is as shallow as you are. And please remember, convertibles and toupees do not mix. Also, those with comb-overs would be well advised to choose luxury sedans. Better yet, may I recommend the Toyota Camry, a pleasant mix of style and comfort and reliability that projects a confidence that need not be bolstered by ego-assuaging possessions. To those who ignore this advice, let the public offer this salute. Raise your fist to your car's ceiling. Wrist up, fingers forward. Extend your smallest pinky finger down, wagging slightly accusingly at the offending egomaniac. This I call the teeny-weeny-peeny, the universal mockery of the overcompensating fool. This is Chuck Morton.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Orthopedic injuries can make even the smallest movements difficult. That's why UNC Orthopedics has made it even easier to get the care you need. Many of our services are located in a convenient facility on Highway 54 in Chapel Hill. The same exceptional care is available in sports medicine, total joints, bone health, orthopedic prompt care, and our fragility fracture program. For information, visit uncortho.org.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Oasis at Carmel. Save half off, $20 worth of food and drinks, available now for $10. Oasis is located in downtown Carrboro in Carmel. But at night, the space is transformed into an environment of entertainment, connections, and inspiration. Oasis features organic coffees, aromatic teas, wines and beers, homemade pastries, chocolates, quiches, and more. Many options are also vegetarian, vegan, and or gluten-free. It's half off from Oasis. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
Have you been to Carrboro lately? You just couldn't make this place up. February is For the Love of Carver Month, and there is so much to see and do, like the North Carolina Comedy Arts Festival. Acts from New York, L.A., Chicago, far and near, here to perform as the next generation of comedy talent. Hashtag NCCAF takes place February 6th through the 16th in the heart of Carborough. Come to Carborough and feel free. Unwind, create, taste, play, and be yourself. Follow us on Facebook at For the Love of Carborough.
Time now for traffic and weather together on WCHL. And this traffic report is brought to you by Tobacco Road Sports Cafe. Like them on Facebook, and you're eligible to win two tickets to the Duke Carolina rematch at Cameron Indoor Stadium on March 8th. Now, that's not the first time they'll play on the 20th, but the second game on March 8th in Durham. The winner will also be in a shooting contest at halftime to win $10,000. So like Tobacco Road today. Now, with your morning traffic, here's Rand Northup.
I'm going to see if I can put together a pie chart or something that describes when and how Duke and Carolina play and where and when, and
yeah,
so everybody can figure it out, because it's become a little confusing.
Yeah, it has. And let's hope we don't get more snow, because it could get worse.
This Thursday night, though, big basketball game, one of two, so yeah, we'll have it for you here.
Exactly.
NC-54 seeing delays right now between 15-501 and I-40. That's in both directions, just minor to moderate delays. Franklin Street heading downtown from 15501, seeing minor to moderate delays, so that's moving south-southwest. Otherwise, things moving smoothly this morning on I-40, the Durham Freeway, 15501, Franklin Street and Estes Drive. Otherwise, things moving pretty smoothly. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Serving the best tasting fountain drinks in town. Made with 100% filtered water, served at 34 degrees. Guaranteed to taste great. Cruisers, good to go. It is 33 degrees, mostly sunshine today. High today in the middle 40s. Kind of a chilly day, but tonight mostly cloudy. 50-50 chance of rain. Low in the low 30s. And tomorrow it's going to change. Tomorrow sunny, not as cool, with a high in the low 60s. And the following day, Wednesday, partly sunny, slight chance of rain, particularly early in the day, but the high in the middle 60s. How about that? 7:52 at WCHL. Ladies and gentlemen, Wayne Pond is next on the agenda. How are you this morning, sir?
How about that?
Yeah.
I agree with you. How about that?
Oh, good. I'm glad you agree with me for once.
Big Ron, always a pleasure to talk to you on Monday morning.
Oh, I know. You too. Right back at
you. Hey, you've heard about people who are disgruntled?
Yes.
Well, that leads us to the word of the day. The word of the day is gruntle. Not disgruntle, but gruntle. G-R-U-N-T-L-E. Sounds pretty much like you would imagine it would sound. G-R-U-N-T-L-E. Gruntle. Believe it or not, Ron, this is a word, according to the wordsmith, that's been in the English language since the end of the 17th century.
Hmm.
And it's all about putting people in a good humor. So if disgruntled means to put you in a bad humor, and there's another whole story related to gruntle and dis and intensifiers and all that lovely linguistic stuff that make your eyes glaze over, we won't go down that path. Take my word for it, gruntle is about making people happy, putting them in a good humor. So I guess that puts you in the chair of the chief gruntler.
Oh man, I appreciate your saying that, man. But I don't, you know, this is a case where the word started out as gruntle, and then disgruntled came along, and that became very commonplace. And you never hear anybody say gruntle.
Yep.
Yeah, really cool.
Well, let's go out and gruntle some people today, Ron.
Yeah, exactly. I say let's do that every day, man. That's my number one goal in life, is to...
Let's see if we can have some basketball gruntling this week.
Exactly.
Hey, we got a lot of it coming up, according to you and Rand.
I love it. Yeah, you got it.
Hey. All right, G-R-U-N-T-L-E, to put somebody in a good humor.
Mm-hmm.
Gruntle forward, Ron Stutz.
All right, you too. Gruntle right back at you. All right, have a good day, buddy.
Bye.
That is Wayne Pond's Word of the Day on WCHL, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Sometime next hour, you'll have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day. Spell it, define it. If you can do all that, we'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. Ladies and gentlemen, it is 7:54.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, time for the clean joke of the day on WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz.
And I'm Lauren.
Is Lauren Stafford.
I thought I'd introduce myself today for the first time.
Well, you should. Come on. Come on in here. Tell everybody who you are.
This is Lauren Stafford with the clean joke of the day.
Good. Fantastic.
And this is Ron Stutz, the amazing Ron Stutz of
amazing.
WCHL.
Amazing. All right.
You're amazing to me, Ron.
Just trying to stay awake. That's all.
It's amazing you're awake at this time of the morning.
It is. It's amazing I'm coherent.
That's good. It's amazing I am, too. Thank goodness for the wonderful coffee we have in the office.
Yeah, exactly. I have to have a couple cups every day or I'm in big trouble.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. We have a joke from Walter Holt.
Uh-oh.
I know.
Is this okay?
It is okay. It has
been
vetted.
You're running by the censors?
The joke has been vetted and tested and approved for clean joke.
All right. Because, you know, sometimes he sends stuff that's
true.
A little bit out there.
But he at least points it out. He at least says, you know, oh, be careful, edit so-and-so. Uh-huh. But no, this time we're all good to go.
Yeah. All right.
A 15-year-old Amish boy and his father were in a mall. They were amazed by almost everything they saw.
What were Amish people doing in a mall?
Hey, they go to malls as well. You know, they, you know, little trip out.
Okay.
They were amazed by almost everything they saw, but especially by two shiny silver walls that could move apart and then slide back together again.
Okay.
An elevator?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah,
Just making sure. The boy asked, "What is this, father?" The father, never having seen an elevator, responded, "Son, I've never seen anything like this in my life. I have no idea what it is." While the boy and his father were watching with amazement, a fat old lady in a wheelchair moved up to the moving walls and pressed a button. The walls opened, and the lady rolled between them into a small room. The walls closed, and the boy and his father watched the small numbers above the walls light up sequentially.
Uh-huh.
They continued to watch until it reached the last number. And then the numbers began to light up again in reverse order back down.
Right.
Finally, the walls opened
Beethoven
up again.
Decomposing again.
Finally, the walls opened up again, and a gorgeous 24-year-old blonde stepped out.
Whoa,
The father, not taking his eyes off the young woman, said quietly to his son, "Son, go get your mother."
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Shelley Day is Executive Director of the Ronald McDonald House of Chapel Hill, and she's been doing it a long time.
I answered a call for applicants and came in for interviews and was immediately struck by the sense that this was where I belonged. I was thrilled when they offered me the job and been here ever since.
Shelley is today's WCHL hometown hero. Even before she got to the house, she'd done a lot of nonprofit work.
I'd been working in nonprofits for probably 15 years before that. Most recently, I had been executive director of the League of Women Voters of North Carolina, doing a lot of lobbying on health care reform because, oddly enough, that was a hot topic back then. History repeats itself.
Yes, it does. Just ask Shelley Day, or for that matter, anyone who works at the Ronald McDonald House, about the huge impact the house has on people's lives.
You know, the Ronald McDonald House is such an amazing place. I think that anybody that walks in here understands immediately. We hear over and over again from families who come here and say that this has changed their life and it's changed their understanding of what it means to have a sick child and to be supported by a much larger community. Sometimes they stay here for 3 weeks or 3 months or a year and they feel that support. And it really, I've just seen so many times where people talk about how it's changed their lives.
I know it's your slogan, but it truly is a reality. Ronald McDonald House really is a home away from home.
It's a home away from home. And, you know, our other little tagline is the house that love built. It's just incredible what it takes to keep the house going, and really it's the entire community and the entire state that gets behind this.
And Shelley Day says it couldn't be done without all those wonderful volunteers at the Ronald McDonald House of Chapel Hill. And keep those contributions coming. Here's how to find out more.
Show up at the front door. We'd love to show people the house and love to have them experience it firsthand. Or they can go to our website, which is www.chapelhillrmh.net.
Thank you for all you do. Shelley Day, Executive Director of the Ronald McDonald House of Chapel Hill, today's WCHL hometown hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
33 degrees in Chapel Hill right now. Look for a lot of sunshine today. High today in the middle 40s. And tonight, mostly cloudy with a 50-50 chance of rain in the low low in the 30s. Tomorrow, a lot warmer with a high in the low 60s.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 8 o'clock.
Carolina basketball.
Alley-oop to McAdoo.
On 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Jetliner hijacked.
You could call it an inside job.
Woman claims to be serial killer.
She would follow them, and she would watch them, and she would learn them.
Florida's loud music case.
We will continue to wait for justice for Jordan.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. A commercial jet hijacked overseas, and the suspect is the co-pilot. Live to the foreign desk in CBS's Vicki Barker.
It started out as a routine flight. The Ethiopian Airlines 767 left Addis Ababa bound for Rome with 202 people on board. But when the pilot got up to go to the lavatory, the co-pilot locked him out of the cockpit and diverted the plane to Geneva.